Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It is great to see each and every one of you in service with us. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. I just want to bring to your attention just a couple of things, especially if you were here last week. We've got to make some shifts. So last week, I announced that our Christmas evening service, so not Christmas, our Christmas service that we were going to be doing on the 23rd, we've had some different conflicts with schedules and some different things kind of going on. So that is going to be, everybody say December 22nd, all right? So that is a Sunday, December 22nd at 6 p.m. right here. It's a candlelight service. It's a great service. We're going to have stuff for the kids. We're going to have stuff for the kids. We'll have Santa will be here. It is going to be an amazing. We're going to have a photo booth. We're going to have all kinds of great things. We're going to take communion together. So that's going to be Sunday, December 22nd at 6 p.m. Now, there will be no service here that morning, all right? So if you come early at 10 o'clock, you can kind of just shovel the parking lot or something till we get here. But no Sunday morning service on the 22nd, but that evening we'll be having our Christmas service. Well, I wanted to give you guys, last week we announced, and I know that we've got some folks that weren't able to be here last week, so I wanted to just kind of make this announcement all over again. And so this last week and a half ago, we finalized everything, and we are now under contract to purchase our own building. And so closing is all set for December, Sunday, December 23rd. And so Merry Christmas to the Lifeway. The Lord just opened the door, and just a great miracle. So we will be moving, we'll be moving to 75th and National, probably the first or second week of February. So just make sure you stay posted to us on social media, and we'll kind of let you know when and where we're going to be. So I mentioned last week we had about $30,000 to raise between now and the closing. And so I want to let you know that a bunch of people stepped up, and we had some churches step up, and we now have that number to like $20,000. What I want to do next Sunday is we want to bring a faith offering. And like I mentioned, many of you here have already made a pledge to the building campaign. We want you to keep honoring and committing to that. But if there's anyone here that hasn't yet been able to make their commitment, man, we'd love it if you'd help us get across the finish line. And it's gonna be so amazing. And so I know one of the questions that everybody asks is, when are you gonna need help? And we're gonna need a lot of help. Lots of cleaning, lots of painting, ripping out carpet, maybe even some demo work. And so there's just lots of stuff that's gonna be happening. And so we'll kind of keep you posted as we go further in this, but many hands make light work, and so we'll be looking forward to that, and it's going to be an amazing time. So I want to take a moment and give a big welcome to all of those who are listening to us online and our online audience today. We love our church family that listens online, and we're so thankful for them. Today is the final week of our Blessed Life series, and what we've been doing in this 5-week series is we've been talking about how generosity is really a matter of the heart, how generosity is really a matter of the heart. And so today we're going to be looking at the principle of multiplication. Everybody say multiplication. All right, how many of you know that multiplication is better than addition when it comes to your pay raise at the end of the year, right? And then someone said, unless it's by one, then it doesn't really matter, right? Some of us probably getting a raise like that this year. But multiplication is so much better when it comes than addition when it comes to our resources. And so I want you to understand this morning that we serve a God. We serve a God who is a God of multiplication. We serve a God who has the power to multiply things. In fact, today we're going to look at a story that, other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And we're going to look at portions from each of these four accounts, and I hope to share, maybe give you some insight on a story that you've probably heard a lot, especially if you grew up going to kids ministry, but I hope to give you maybe some new things that you've never thought about. And this story, or the miracle, is often referred to in the Bible as the feeding of the 5,000. If you've ever heard that story before, come on, let me see your hand so I know how much I have to break this down. Okay, a lot of us in the room have. So if you've got your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I encourage you to take that out, follow along with us, and take some notes. But we're going to start in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, Luke 9, verse 12, and this is what it says. It says, "Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, 'Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place.'" How many of you know that's a bad place to be, right? "But Jesus said to them, 'You feed them.' 'But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. 'Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?'" Verse 14, "For there were about 5,000 men there." Now, I want to point out that in those days, the way that they counted crowds was by counting men. Essentially, what they were doing is they were counting families or heads of households. And so when it says there were about 5,000, if you just took the average family size of that day and spouses and children, it's safe to assume that there were anywhere between 20 to 30,000 people there that day as Jesus taught. I mean, this is a much bigger miracle than even feeding the 5,000. And so most theologians actually believe that this was the largest crowd that Jesus ever spoke to. And so going on in the story, Jesus replied, "Tell them to sit down in groups of 50 each." And so the people all sat down. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up towards heaven and he blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. Verse 17, "They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers, starting with 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeding all of those people with 12 baskets of leftovers. It's clear that our God is a God of multiplication. Anybody glad about that? Now, what I want to do is I want to go through this story again, and what I want to try to do is place us in it within the context of our culture and our time today. Now, I want everyone in this room, just imagine that you were one of Jesus' 12 disciples that day. All right, so Jesus and the disciples, they had been having all of these great meetings, and they were traveling from city to city. Jesus was teaching this revolutionary message. He was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was performing all those miracles. And so as a disciple, you have a front row seat to observe it all unfold. And so let's just pretend for sake of argument that as one of Jesus' disciples, one of your jobs was to do the marketing. And so you get on social media and you open up Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and you start, you know, posting selfies right on the hillside. And you're like, hashtag waiting for Jesus to bring it this morning. And you're just pushing it out there everywhere. And so the day of this story, it's the largest crowd that you've ever seen come hear Jesus. I mean, the worship band is killing it. Like the greeters, like it is the perfect day, right? And then Jesus gets up to teach. And it seems like every line that comes out of his mouth, it's like tweetable. Like, retweet that, man. Jesus, retweet that. Like, I mean, you're just like, you can't even keep up. Everything he's saying is so good. It's incredible. But the Gospel of Luke actually tells us that it was late in the afternoon. In other words, the day had begun to slip away. Jesus is up there and he's preaching to the largest crowd he's ever had. And so as a disciple, you're sitting there, you're taking it all in, and just like in a blink of an eye, it's 12 p.m. And Jesus is still preaching. It's 12:30. It's 1. It's 1:15. 1:30. He's still going. I mean, by this point, you've missed the first half of the Nazareth Packer game, right? Like you're hoping to get something to eat and get home in time to catch the second half. It's 2 p.m. 2 p.m. comes and goes, and he's still going. And then 3, he's still preaching. And 3:30 and 4 and 4:15. They had been there, the scripture says, the entire day. And so the disciples, as we quite often do, they formed an impromptu committee for that day. Anybody at work seeing something happen that's unfair, and you get a few coworkers together trying to get support, rally up the troops, right? And so I can picture three or four of the disciples putting their heads together and saying, well, what are we going to do? I mean, the teaching is great. This is unbelievable. But Jesus just won't stop talking. I mean, we've been out here all day, and I didn't eat breakfast before we came out. I'm going to die, right? And like a lot of us, because of their hunger, they started to get a little agitated. They started to get a little hangry. But here they are. They're in the wilderness. They're in a remote place. They're in a deserted place. There's no Chick-fil-A, guys. It's Sunday, right? Chick-fil-A is always closed every time you want it on Sunday. And so one of the disciples says, hey, I've got an idea. Let's go tell Jesus that the people are hungry. Let's go up to him and tell him we're concerned about the people, because Jesus always cares about the people. And so Mark's record of the story tells us that when Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, watch this, he had compassion on them. And so here you are today. You're one of the disciples, and they nominate you, and they say, hey, you go deliver the message to Jesus. Isn't that great when it works out like that, right? Now, man, I want you to picture this. You're nominated. Jesus is up there teaching to 20,000 people, and you've got to walk up and tap them on the shoulder, right? Excuse me, Lord, I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt. This has been so good. I mean, so good. This series of messages that you're bringing all in one day, Jesus, man, wow. I mean, personally, I mean the guys, the 12 of us, we could listen to you preach nonstop. In fact, I was just telling John, I could go all night. In fact, I hope you still preach part 5, 6, and 7 of this series. But anyway, as we were talking, Jesus, we recognize that the people are starting to get tired and they're starting to get hungry. So Lord, we thought it might be good if we just, you know, maybe took a little break. You might want to just kind of wrap this up so that people can go back to town and find something to eat. Jesus looks to you and says, you're concerned about the people? Oh, yes, Lord, it's all about the people, Lord. So Jesus says, fine, go give them something to eat. Now sometimes when we read the Bible, well, we don't really think about it. We don't really put ourselves in their shoes. I mean, there's 20,000 people there. And you're saying, Lord, the people are hungry, and they've been here day, and we might want to dismiss service so they can go get something to eat. And Jesus says, you think they're hungry? Well, then you go get them something to eat. Excuse me. Jesus, what did you say, Jesus? Did you just say what I thought you said? Yeah, you and your little group there, go over. If you're hungry and you think the people are hungry, then you go find them something to eat. And I can almost picture it, right? You know, kind of walking away, just, oh, man, that didn't go how I thought it would go. And so you head back, you know, they're all waiting and kind of looking and smiling, yeah, thumbs up, and you kind of walk over dejected, and they said, well, did you tell Jesus the people were hungry? Yeah, I told him that. Well, is he going to dismiss service? Not exactly. What do you mean, not exactly? Well, what did he say? He said for us to give them something to eat. Are you kidding me? Look at all of these people. In fact, John chapter 6, 7, Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Let me just say that it's amazing what we see when God doesn't answer the way that we think that he should. Philip saw the price, but his faith didn't allow him to believe that a miracle was possible. Going on in John chapter 6, verse 8, it says, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. And he says, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this large, huge crowd? So Andrew sees this kid running by with a snack pack from Long John Silver's. How many remember Long John Silver's, right? Man, they got rid of all of them around here. Probably good for me, but. And so Andrew grabs him and says, hey, give me that lunch. You know, we often assume we grew up in, you know, going to Kids Way and kids ministry when we were little, that this little boy willingly gave his lunch. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. I don't know, you know, like he probably was like, man, you can have my lunch. Watch me, and just kind of took it. He was probably being a bully, right? But I want you to catch this here this morning. Sometimes someone else sees what you have and you don't even realize it's the miracle that other people need. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You have potential. You have purpose inside of you that people are waiting on you to give so that they can experience a miracle in their life. In fact, God, he often uses people who are the least important in the eyes of others, those that others would say are unqualified or too inexperienced or not educated enough. I mean, this boy, he wasn't even important enough to be counted with the 5,000. Only God could use someone that didn't even make the list to feed 20,000 people. I also want you to recognize that the next generation, hear me, the next generation had the lunch. The miracle was in the hands of the boy. And it's essential that we invest in our children. We should have men and women waiting in line to have the opportunity to serve in our kids' ministry. Why? Because we must invest in them. We must see and call out the potential that is inside of them. We must encourage them. We must believe in them, because you may never know which one is holding what you need for the miracle that you're looking for in your life. So back to our story. Here comes Andrew. He's got this Long John Silver snack pack, and he initially speaks with boldness, full of possibility. He says, hey, there's this little boy. And then he opens up the box, and he looks inside, and fear instantly grabs hold of his heart as he realizes, oh my gosh, this isn't even the 20-piece nugget meal. This is the 2-piece with 3 extra rolls. And Andrew says, well, what good is that with this huge of a crowd? Can I tell you that so many of us in this room, we respond the same way? Well, we initially see the possibilities. We have faith and believe that God can do something so big. But then we look at the reality of our situation. And as we look at it, fear grips our heart and we begin to doubt. And Andrew basically says, hey, what good is this measly little meal? And what I want you to understand here this morning is that the miracle is not in what you've lost, it's in what you have left. If you're down to 2 fish, if you're down to 5 loaves, stop grieving over what you don't have and start looking at what you do have, because no matter how insignificant it may seem, it's what's in your hand today that God wants to use and perform a miracle out of. And so the committee huddles up again. And one of the disciples says, I got it. Let's go tell Jesus that we've been working at it, that we've been trying to find something for the people to eat, and this is all we have. Surely then Jesus will finally dismiss service. Now, if you've never heard this story, 20,000 plus people in a 2-piece fish meal, that's not going to go very far. Honestly, it would make sense that Jesus would dismiss this service, dismiss the gathering. But listen to me, doing it God's way doesn't always make sense. In fact, I'll say that doing it God's way almost never makes sense. Amen. Giving, serving, being obedient, tithing, it doesn't make sense. But can I tell you, when you follow God's plan, it works. It will change your life. And so as the chosen spokesperson of the committee, now, a second time, you've got to go back up to Jesus. And so he's up there teaching, and you're kind of tapping him on the shoulder. This time he's probably getting a little bit aggravated. Excuse me, Jesus. Excuse me again. Sorry. You know, you told us to give them something to eat. And we want you to know that we've been working on that. And we've been able to come up with 2 fish and almost 5 rolls. I think Peter took a bite out of one of the rolls. That's all we have. And we tried, Jesus, but we're thinking that it would probably be best for you just to go with our original plan and just wrap it up today. Luke 9:14, Jesus replied, he says, tell them, to sit down in groups of about 50 each. Lord, I don't think you understand. I said, two fish, five rolls. That's all we got. And Jesus says, yeah, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. Have them sit down in groups of 50. So once again, you kind of shrug your shoulders and head back over to the committee to give them an update. And they ask, well, is Jesus going to dismiss service? No, not exactly. No, he's not going to dismiss service. Well, what did he say? He said that we should have the people sit down in groups of 50. What? Did you tell him we had five rolls or 500 rolls? What in the world are we going to do? And it's here that Jesus teaches his disciples and he models for us the principle of multiplication. And so in our remaining time this morning, I want to share three truths about the principle of multiplication. The first blank in your outline, if you're taking notes, following along with us, number one is there has to be order before multiplication can happen. There has to be order before multiplication can happen. I want you to just think about this for a moment. You've got 12 guys trying to tell 20,000 people without a microphone, without a PA system, to sit down in groups of 50. Now, I don't know how much leading you've done in your life, but people don't like to do what they're told. Come on, how many of you know that to be true? Especially church folks. They always like to ask questions. Well, why do you need us to sit in groups? I don't even know these people. I don't want to be in their group. Can't I be in someone else? Wouldn't groups of 25 be better? That's church people, right? Every time you make a change, right? We need to recognize that structure and order often precedes the miracle. Often we're wanting God to move on our behalf, and God is saying, hey, when are you going to do what I've already told you to do? God's saying, hey, I've got the blessing ready. I'm just waiting for you to get things in order, to get into obedience with what I've asked you to do. Psalms 37:34 says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily, watch this, along his pathway. Follow his ways, and in due season, he will honor you with every blessing, and you will see the wicked destroyed. Listen, we need to trust what he is telling us to do and be faithful in it. And when we're faithful in it, we will see every blessing in our life. We will see the wicked and the evil things destroyed. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Be sure that everything is done properly and in order. Listen, God cannot bless things that are out of order because it would go against his nature. And so the disciples finally get everyone to sit down in groups of 50, which I think was really a miracle in and of itself. And the second truth, the second principle of multiplication is this, number two, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed before it can be multiplied. And as we've learned throughout this series, the only way something is blessed is when we learn to give it to God first. The first portion is the portion that has the ability to bless the rest. You bring the first 10%, the tithe, to the house of God. That's what blesses the remaining 90%. You know, listen, had the disciples that day just started giving away that small lunch before Jesus blessed it, it would have never multiplied. And so back to our story, as the spokesperson of the committee, you now go back up to Jesus a third time, interrupt his teaching and say, okay, Jesus, we got them all to sit down in groups of 50. Here's the food. It's all we've got. Jesus, you going to pray over this today? Yes, I'll pray for it. Okay, Lord, go ahead and go and pray. And I can just picture if I was one of the disciples looking back because of what I've seen, the miracles that I've seen Jesus do, I can just picture looking over my shoulder and looking back at John or Peter and said, hey, you better get your phone ready and go live. This is going to be amazing, right? We're going to want to post this for sure. Luke 9:16, then he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke them. Once again, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Jesus took the bread. He broke it. Listen. He gives you back half of what you gave to him to bless. It's smaller than what you gave him in the first place. It makes no sense. Jesus, this is supposed to be getting bigger. Jesus, are you through praying? Did you maybe want to pray again and bless it again? No, Jesus says, yeah, I'm through. Jesus, are you sure you don't want to bless this some more? No, go ahead. I've already blessed it. And so Jesus, he gives it back to them. But what I want you to see is that it hasn't multiplied yet. And this is where we learn the third truth in the principle of multiplication, number three. It must be given away before it can multiply. It must be given away before it can multiply. Luke 9:16, then he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and he gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. In other words, he said, in order to see the miracle, you're going to have to give it away first. How many of you know that took faith? How many of you know that took a willingness, right, to look foolish, even silly, walking up to a group of 50 with a half a loaf of bread in your hand? And so I can picture the disciples walking over to the first few people in that group of 50, and they're like, hey, just take a little piece. It's got to last for 20,000 people. But every time you give some away, it grows right there in your hands. And as he gives more and more away, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. I've always missed this in this story, probably the hundreds of times I've heard it taught. Recognize this, the miracle did not happen in the master's hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. All Jesus did was bless it, but it didn't multiply until they gave it away. Yes, Jesus performed the miracle, but it required the faith of the disciples being willing to give it away that activated the miraculous and put it into motion. And here's what I believe. I can't prove it scripturally, but I believe that even if after Jesus had blessed it that day, if the disciples took it, ate it, and consumed it on themselves, that meal would have never multiplied, because for multiplication to occur, it must be given away. And so I wonder how many miracles we're missing out in our lives because we're unwilling to give away what has been blessed by God in our lives. God is challenging us to make the choice to be givers, to be generous with our time, with our talent and treasure. And I personally don't believe that tithing is even giving. Tithing is simply returning to God what already belongs to him. If I let you borrow my car for the week because yours is broke down in the shop, and after a week you bring it back to me and say, you know what, because I love you so much, I'd like to give you this car, I'd be like, shush, man, you're not giving me this car, it's already mine. When we tithe, we're returning what already belongs to him. It's his. You can't really give something that doesn't belong to you in the first place. But when we give above and beyond, that's where we will see the power of multiplication come into our lives. Some people say, well, I don't know how to give. I don't know when to give. I don't know what to give. I don't know how much to give. I don't know who to give it to. Listen, I promise, if we'll ask God, God will tell us. I want you to watch how this story ends. Luke 9:17, it says, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. And I think the reason that there were 12 baskets of leftovers is because Jesus wanted each of the disciples to walk away that day carrying their own baskets. I think he was trying to tell them, hey, go find some more hungry people and feed them. Go out there and be my hands and be my feet. I'll provide everything that you need if you'll just trust me. And I want you to understand this morning, Jesus, he wants to multiply your resources, but in order for him to do that, there needs to be order. And so some of us need to leave this service today, and we need to work on that before we can expect God to multiply, putting things in their rightful place. And then it needs to be blessed, which means that the first must be given to God. I said this a couple of weeks ago. The reason we go to church on Sunday, it's the first day of the week. It's symbolic. God, I'm setting this time aside for you. The reason I encourage everyone that calls the Lifeway their home to serve and be a part of the dream team, it isn't because there's more tasks that need to be done. No, because it's going to do something in you. Because when we bring to God first, He touches it and He multiplies it. And then lastly, we need to give it away. I want you to understand the reason that Jesus wants to multiply your resources this morning isn't so that your bank account grows bigger and bigger and you drive nicer and nicer cars and move into larger and larger homes. No, it's for none of those things. He gives you, He expands, He multiplies your resources so that you can be a blessing to others. Because there are other hungry, empty, broken people who are waiting to be filled. As I wrap up this message in this series this morning, when it's all said and done, our lives are really about the impact. They're really about the difference we make in other people's lives. I love what Pastor Rick Warren said. He said, "What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of your life." And this is what I want all of us to walk out of here and recognize this morning. What we do for ourselves, the things we buy for ourselves, it's all gonna die when we die. But what we do for others is gonna live well beyond the days that we spend on this earth. I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy. A legacy is something that far outlives our time on earth. Psalms 112 verse 5 says, "Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil." Watch this. "Those who are righteous will be long remembered." You see it there? That's the legacy. "They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless, and they can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need." Watch this. "Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." And so the whole point of the series, as I wrap it all up and try to put a big bow on it, to truly live a blessed life really comes down to choosing in our hearts to lead a life of generosity. To see God use us, not just the pastor, not just the people that come up on stage, but to literally see God use us to perform miracles of multiplication. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never made the commitment to follow Jesus. I want you to know that the best gift you can ever give God is you. The best gift you can ever give God is your life. And if you'll put God first, if you'll give Him in your life, listen, the rest is going to follow. And so maybe you're sitting here today and there's a habit, or maybe there's a recurring sin, there's an addiction, something that you run to every time you're under pressure or stress. Listen, whatever it is, I want you to know you can give it to Him. You can give everything to God. And all you have to do is repent. What that simply means is say, "Sorry, Jesus, for the things I've done that's wrong. And instead of pursuing my own way, Lord, I'm going to follow You." So with no one looking around, if you're ready to make that decision today, I want to take a couple minutes and pray for you. So would you just signify you being ready to take that step by lifting up your hands? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand there in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank You for all these hands that have gone up. And Lord Jesus, what a great time it is to run to You. And so, Lord, we bring You our brokenness. We bring You our hurt, our pain, our addictions, our fear, our sorrow. Lord, and we run to you. We move towards you, Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you would forgive me. Lord, I'm asking that you would wash me, that you would cleanse me, that you would purify my heart, that you would make me brand new. Lord God, I thank you for coming to Calvary to pay the sin debt that I owe. And so, Lord Jesus, while it's a broken mess, I don't have much to offer. Lord, I give you my life. Come on, just tell him that. I give you my life, Jesus. I give you my heart. And Lord, today, I thank you for new life. Lord Jesus, I pray over every person in this room. Lord Jesus, that we would truly learn to lead and live a blessed life. Lord God, the things that you've entrusted to us, our home, our resources, Lord, our job, even our relationships, Lord God, you've given them to us so that we can be generous, Lord God, so that we can use them to make a difference. Lord, I pray that even in this season, all the hustle and bustle and the buying and the selling and the inundation of ads everywhere to buy, 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 buy. Lord, let us not be caught up in all of that. But Lord, that we would hear your still small voice. And Lord, that you would use us as individuals over the coming weeks to make a difference in other people's lives. Lord God, that through us, Lord God, the world might see your goodness and your love and your generosity, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray over a blessing over people's homes, Lord God, over their marriages, Lord God, over their finances. Lord, that we would start to put things in proper order. And Lord God, that when we do, Lord God, that you would bless it. And Lord God, as we return it back to you, Lord God, that you would perform a miracle and that you would multiply it. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.